Good afternoon. We'll call Sussex County Council October 17th meeting back in order. This afternoon, we have public hearings two, change zone number 1601 Regina Strubel, and change zone 1602 Triple DJ LLC. At this time, I'll turn the proceedings over to our legal counsel, Mr. Jim Griffin, and he'll explain how he'll conduct the public hearing. Mr. Griffin.
Thank you. My name is Jim Griffin. I'm the county attorney. I'll briefly explain the procedure. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings. Council uses the information obtained during these hearings to decide whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. After each application is announced, Mr. Lank will give a report on whether or not the Planning and Zoning Commission has yet made a recommendation. If the commission has deferred, then council will defer until such time as it receives a recommendation from the commission. If council has made a recommendation one way or the other, then council can choose to act, or it can also choose to defer. The applicant will be called on when their case comes up. If you plan to speak in behalf of the applicant, when you come down to the speaker stand, before you begin your statement, please state your name and your address for the record, and then proceed with anything you would like to say. If you're represented by an attorney or you have a spokesperson, then primarily they'll do the introductory part and decide whether or not to call additional witnesses. After the applicants have had a chance to make their presentation, we'll throw the floor open to anyone else who is here as a member of the public who may have an objection, a concern, a question, to let them be heard. If there are two sides to the issue, then after both sides have been heard, then it will be up to council to decide whether to defer or whether to take action of some type. Does anyone have any questions about the procedure? If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or turn it to silent service, if you don't mind. Mr. Lank?
Yes, thank you. This first application is change of zone number 1601. It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a C1 general commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, for land lying north of Route 9, 145 feet east of Route 5 at Harbison, and to be located on 1.09 acres, more or less. For the benefit of council, I've provided a booklet that was submitted to us on the 16th of October by Fuqua and Urey on behalf of the applicant. There's also a copy of the survey that was submitted by the applicant for the commission's public hearing. The commission, in their deliberation of public hearing on September 28th of 2006, found, based on comments from DLDOT, that a traffic impact study was not recommended, and that the level of service E of Route 9 will not change as a result of this application. We also heard comments from the Office of State Planning Coordination making reference to the granting of a waiver for the pre-application process due to the size of the parcel, that other C1 zone properties exist in the general area, and because development of the property will not meet the plus criteria. It was also noted that the change of zone needs to accompany a comprehensive plan amendment for the parcel, and that the comprehensive plan amendment will not need to go through plus so long as this is the only amendment being considered. Now, the applicant was present. He gave testimony that her parents purchased the property in 1989, that the parcel was sandwiched between other commercial properties, that the property is near the corner of Route 9 and Route 5, that a Delmarva Power substation is 75 feet away to the east, that the property is across from the Harbison Post Office and a convenience store and adjacent to contractor's office, and that her parents have passed away and that she is attempting to sell the property for the heirs. Mr. Robertson did state on the record that the size of the site limits the use of the property. There were no parties present in support or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. There was a consensus of the commission that the value of the property is not a stated purpose for consideration of rezoning, and that a land use decision is needed. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied based on a lack of purpose for the rezoning. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Smith was absent during that vote. I received no additional information except a booklet that's been provided to council, and that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
So Mrs. Struble represented herself that evening?
Yes, she did.
Okay. And the synopsis.
Willard.
My attorney didn't show up that night again.
Good afternoon, Tim Willard for the applicant, Mrs. Struble, and her siblings who actually own the property. And Mr. Rogers, you did indicate or question whether she was by herself the night of planning and zoning. And she was, and nor did she have some of the support information that has been provided to you. Not only has she chosen to appear here with me today, but she's brought two of her siblings. To my left is Paula in purple, Paula Woodenberg, from Cooperstown, New York, and Diana Simpson from Seattle. And there are three more, in fact. There's Virginia Sabo, and there's Roberta Field, and there's Theodore Traphagen Jr. The Traphagens had six children, Helen and Ted Traphagen. They lived in Sussex, New Jersey, and they moved here to Sussex County in 1989 when they bought this little brick rancher at the Harbison corner where the property is. Unfortunately, 2 years after the Traphagens moved down here, and they retired down here, they didn't bring all the kids down here. Thereafter, all the kids have come down to vacation in Sussex to be with them. Just giving a little background on the family here, they Mr. Traphagen unfortunately passed away 2 years or less than 2 years when he moved to Harbison. However, Helen loved it and stayed here, and as Paula or Diana, one of them told me that this Harbison really embraced her, and she lived at the corner there at Harbison until she passed away a couple years ago. So these five daughters and this one young man, Theodore, own this property. The estate's been settled, and they're debating what to do with it. And they believe that the property is no longer a viable use for residential. And we'll hope to give you some reasons why we believe that the use is more appropriate, commercial, more likely a business use, which obviously is a permitted use under C1, because of what's surrounding it. And it clearly, such a change of zone wouldn't adversely affect the neighborhood. I'm going to, if everybody has one of my books.
We do.
I'm going to buzz through it. I know you've been here all day fairly quickly. But just to document for the record what the surrounding area looks like, tab one shows the property is on the north side of Route 9. It's on the west side of the intersection. So as you're heading from Georgetown to Lewis, you go through that intersection, you pass that, what I call that abandoned greenhouse, or no one's done anything with that for a while. Then on the corner, you'll see the HVAC building. The very next property to the HVAC business, this catty corner there, used to be the motorcycle business, was the Traphagen's property. It's the applicant's property. So most of you, I imagine, are familiar with that intersection, but this will document it. Right across the street, there's an Exxon gas station with two pumps and has the deli. There's the post office up there and a couple other small business in that corner, and that's commercial. The next picture down shows actually two outbuildings that are located on the Traphagen property. The next picture down shows the green abandoned building, or at least nothing's happened to it for years. Turn the page, you have a more close-up picture of the deli. On the same side of the property as this applicant's property is Clean Delaware, which is less than 50 yards, 100 yards down the road. Closer to the Traphagen property is Davidson's moving house. And these we both submit to your industrial uses. Just next to the Traphagen properties is that large Delmarva substation. And you can see that in the top picture on the third page. And you also see the Davidson side. The Traphagen's property is not exactly adjacent. There's one home in between the Trapp Higgins and the power company. I don't know if that lady's still living there, but she's very friendly to this project and this application. Right across the street is Trippy's business, Custom Framers. And you can see another picture of the Davidson, the garage there. And then the very last page of pictures shows the Rollins roofing business. There are a couple businesses that are contractor-type businesses, and quite frankly, that's what they probably expect to take this property, or some kind of office with a small, maybe, contracting business. But that's right adjacent, and that's a picture of that. And then you have a frontal of that property with the roofing business, HVAC building. And then the very last picture shows the Trapp Higgins home just from the front. It's sort of sandwiched literally in all this. Page 2 shows you the tax map with the site identified. You can see there's various commercial all around the area. The orange area is the Davidson house moving, which I assume is operating under conditional use 1213. And on the left side, although I didn't color it, it's actually marked as industrial. And if you turn it to tab 3, that's actually blow up of your comprehensive plan tax map. And if you see that little green dot between this red, and this red, that's the Trapp Higgins lot. And although that pink wasn't marked, that's the Exxon station. And the black and white is industrial. And I guess the small corner there is the cemetery. So clearly the area is surrounded by various kinds of commercial activity or business activity. When this was submitted to the Department of Transportation, they indicated no TIS was necessary. If you look at tab 5, this is the use that they're proposing would be appropriate for the area. So it's not just a survey. This is actually a site plan that's not really to scale, but if you got rid of, there are two sort of entrances to the outbuildings, probably aren't used, but they still exist. The plan is to get rid of them, maybe landscaping in the front of that, have parking in the rear of the building. The main building would be an office. The two outbuildings could be used as storage if not taken down. And then there could be some kind of dumpster in the back if that's necessary for a small business. It probably wouldn't be necessary to have a full-size dumpster. And that because of the size of the property, I agree with Mr. Robertson in reference his comments to the Planning and Zoning Commission that this is a one-acre parcel, and that limits the use. And such a use, like its next-door neighbor, the roofing business with a few trucks, or the HVAC business where it's not maybe a lot of retail, we believe would be appropriate for this area. You have a letter in tab 6 from a realtor, Nora Martin, stating Nora Martin's opinion as to the best use for this property being commercial and not diminishing the value of the properties. I think it's fairly obvious based on what's going on around there. You also have a letter from Constance C. Holland saying because this proposed rezoning is for 1 acre parcel adjacent to and across from other C1 zoned properties, and because development of this property will not meet plus criteria, that's reference a site plan over 75,000 square feet, the Office of State Planning Coordination will waive the pre-application. And I've also included, I guess, Mr. Lank's letter to her, reference why it didn't go up there in the first place. That's our presentation. We understand where Planning and Zoning Commission was coming from on this, as far as not having, I think, an idea of what use would be appropriate and presented to you. And genuinely, although you have 6 individuals owning this property, whether they sell it or not, the fact remains that the use is not appropriate for residential, and in fact, it's surrounded by various activity. Power stations, HVAC buildings, gas stations, a contracting business, a house moving business, an environmental clean Delaware business. There's a nice brick structure there for an office. There's plenty of room in the back for several parking spaces, whether they're for vehicles related to the business or people visiting the home, and that's why they've made this application. Is Struble. Go ahead. I don't have to listen. I don't know if Mr. President was going to address me.
Okay.
You've heard what I've represented to council. Is it true and correct?
Absolutely.
Your knowledge?
Absolutely. Couldn't say it any better.
Question is it good enough?
No. Okay.
Well, your presentation to planning and zoning before you obtained legal counsel was that you wanted to sell the property, but you didn't have the best need of it. Is that correct?
Yes, that was correct. We're not sure if we're going to sell the property or not. It eventually, yes. We're looking to sell it, right? But right now,
You're looking into possibly using it for an offices.
Right.
Mr. Willard stated. Because it is, you are encompassed or encapsulated by commercial. The other side of the room is more so, the other side of the road is more conditional use, but it is commercial in the corners.
Right.
And you are contiguous to it.
They could end up, if you give this to them, they could end up leasing it for a few years. They still visit the area. Or Regina, who is the spokesperson, lives in Lewis.
I live in Lewis, but my family still uses the house. Grandchildren use the house. We're just at a standstill with it. We know we can't do anything with it the way it is right now.
They may never sell it if they have to get six siblings to agree. But the Trapagans seem to get along all right.
And the rezoning, again, is it just so you can sell it?
No, the proposal today, is it for an office complex today? Utilize the house for an office commercially?
Yeah. That's what, when we talked about this, and in light of what the use would be appropriate, it seems like with an acre, no more than an acre, you'd have trouble maybe with entrance permits just doing anything more intense than maybe a small business with a lot of retail. So, and the structure is very sound. The outbuildings might not be as much. That would be appropriate, I think. So, whether they sell it or not is something that may or may not occur.
Even if you don't sell it, if this application is approved, do you plan to put the property to a commercial use through making it available to someone to lease for an office space?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think
absolutely.
I heard you say that this application attempts to bring it into a more consistent zoning with the other properties in the area,
right.
Correct?
Absolutely. That's what I meant to say.
It would be safe to say that when she came to planning and zoning, you knew everything around you was commercial. You filed for it, but really didn't know how to present it.
Exactly.
So she flew in her sister from Seattle, flew in one from Cooperstown. The heat's on.
Mr. Griffin?
Any other questions? Do you have anything further to present, Mr. Willard?
No, sir.
Thank you. We'll see if there's anyone else here who may have an interest in the project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard concerning this application? It's the application of Regina Struble to change from AR1 to C1. Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized.
Gentlemen? Read title.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C1 general commercial district. For a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.09 acres.
Gentlemen, you've heard legal counsel read the title. Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. We approve CZ 1601 as stated.
A motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Dukes. Approved change of zone 1601 application that of Regina Struble to amend the comprehensive plan from AR1 to C1 district in Harbison area. Questions? Gentlemen, Mr. Cole.
It's contiguous to a C1 district, and that intersection is probably not suitable for long-term residential uses, and so think the change is appropriate.
I vote yes. Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips votes yes. Mr. Jones?
My vote is yes, also with the testimony we received today.
Mr. Jones votes yes. Mr. Dukes?
It's never been the intent of the council to change the zone for just so you can sell something, but being this has been surrounded or adjoining C1 across the road, C1 or C1 all around, is such a small parcel. I would have to agree that this is appropriate. My vote would be yes.
Mr. Dukes votes yes. In light of the applicant filing probably 14 months ago and unaware how the system worked and how to present their case, obtaining legal counsel, put it forth to you in the manner in which it will be used. It is contiguous. It's strictly commercial on the north side of that and industrial on that side of the road. With that, my vote will be yes. Motion passed. Zoning granted. Next case.
Next case is a change of zone 1602 Triple D Double J LLC. Mr. Byard, is that your spokesperson?
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a GR RPC general residential district residential planned community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. The land lying east of Route 365, northeast of Route 367A, and across from Route 367B to be located on 71.77 acres, more or less. Planning and Zoning Commission also held a public hearing on this application on September 28th, 2006. A gentleman before you is a copy of a booklet provided by the applicants. There is also a copy of a letter of opposition and a petition of opposition before you. For the record, the commission heard comments from the County Engineering Department. More specifically, a letter from Russ Archett. We also received the comments from the Engineering Department Planning and Permit Division. We heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District. The applicant provided a similar booklet for the record. Mr. Byard was present on behalf of the application with Jessica Nichols of Meridian Architects and Engineers, Teresa Kroll, property owner, and Darren Lockwood, developer, who also provided comments and information. There were no parties present in support of the application. There was one party present in opposition, which was Judy Hickman, who made reference to, in opposition, and expressed concern that the higher density portion of the site is proposed next to her property, that there is no need for additional homes in the area, that she owns farmland adjacent to the site, and that the farmland is actively being farmed. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application, and on September 28th, 2006, did defer action for further consideration. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Smith was absent during that vote. The site application is on the agenda again for consideration for tomorrow afternoon as old business. It has not been recommended yet. That's all I have unless you have questions.
Byard. Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Good afternoon, gentlemen. As Lawrence advised, the project engineer and person responsible for the project booklet is Jessica Nichols on my right. She will walk you through the project. Also present are members of the Kroll family. Teresa Kroll owns the property. It is under contract to the applicant. For Mr. Kroll's benefit, the managing member of the LLC is Darren Lockwood. With that, Jessica, if you could come forward and identify yourself.
My name is Jessica Nichols. I'm a professional engineer with Meridian Architects and Engineers.
As you'll see, this project is in an environmentally sensitive developing area. It's in a growth area on the county's map. In part, the project includes the reclamation of a borrow pit and the conversion of a borrow pit into the focal point of the development. Jessica, if you could take the commission through the surrounding area, identifying nearby and neighboring uses.
Yes, the plan that we have over to your left represents some of the surrounding development and proposed development. Our parcel is colored in green. It's located south of the towns of Millville and the towns of Ocean View. To the east of the parcel, you can see are some Sussex County zoned lands that are zoned MR with a density of 4 units per acre and GR with a density of 4 units per acre. To the north is the recently annexed development of Millville by the Sea. It is zoned as a master plan community with 8 dwelling units per acre. The blue colored parcel is Bear Trap, which is also a residential plan community at 5 dwelling units per acre.
Where is the commercial site?
The red represents commercially zoned parcels, and there's one right across the road, and there's several other small.
What is the use?
I'm not sure what the commercial use is right across the street.
It's just a conditional use.
It's zoned C1 based on the Sussex County website.
Mr. Cole, if you look at the minutes of the commission, you'll see attached to them is a portion of a county tax map identifying the neighboring property as C1. Jessica, if you could walk the commission, or council, excuse me, briefly through the site, describing the site in its present condition.
In the present condition, the site is 50, it's a 72-acre site. About 50 acres of that is woodlands, and 20 acres represents there's existing dwelling and a 2.9-acre pond and open space that is grown over but was a horse farm area.
Is any portion of the property under cultivation?
Not at this moment. And not in a while, actually.
Has a rare plant, rare animal report been prepared?
Yes. In the packet, there was a report done by EnviroTech regarding rare vegetation and animal species.
And there are none on site, according to that report?
That's correct.
Was the wetlands delineation done?
A wetlands delineation was performed by Ten Bears Environmental, which is included in the report as well, and has been submitted to the Army Corps of Engineers for a jurisdictional determination.
Does that report indicate there are any wetlands on site?
There are wetlands on site.
Can you point generally on the plan where they are? In addition, was an evaluation done of the stand of timber on the property?
Yes, there's also EnviroTech did a tree report. That's included.
And is it a safe summary to say that the report concludes that this is not a commercially valuable stand of timber?
That's correct.
If you could walk the council briefly through your plan, explain your design and theme of the project.
The plan for the 72 acres proposes 265 total dwelling units, which makes a gross density of 3.69 dwelling units per acre. The 265 units is broken down into 111 single-family lots that are 7,500 square foot on average, and 154 duplex units. There are some of the site features are sidewalks and streetlights on both sides of the road. There's a covered bus stop with parking at the entrance to the development. There's a minimum 30-foot forested buffer to all the adjacent properties, as well as most buffers from the adjacent areas are 60-foot minimum. There's a minimum 50-foot wetland buffer around all of the wetlands, although most of the wetlands are buffered by 100 feet. And there's a 20-foot landscaping buffer along the entire frontage of the county roads. There's also, we've left open in the center of the development where the existing house is. We propose to convert that to the clubhouse, and we've left open 2 acres approximately in this area, proposing a pool and to leave the existing borrow pit as really nice for the future.
Other than the clubhouse and pool, are there any other amenities planned?
Well, we wanted to leave. I don't know if there's going to be any access to the pond. but the walking paths throughout and the streetlights and sidewalks on both sides of the road.
Is it fair to say that the theme or design for the project is borrowed in part from Bear Trap?
That's correct, because of the single-family lots and cluster lots and duplexes at Bear Trap.
No lots or pods for townhomes or in wetlands?
No. They're minimum 50-foot, but in most areas, 80 to 100-foot.
What infrastructure is available or to be available to the site?
Water is to be provided by Artesian, and there's a willing and able to serve letter at the end of your packet. And sewer, it's currently in the Beaver Dam study area for sewer.
And what allocation did the county make for sewer capacity for this property?
4 dwelling units per acre.
You summarized everything you said.
Four units per acre, and you plan a density of?
3.69.
This project went to PLUS?
That's correct.
And came back from PLUS? How was it changed in a briefly,
their major requests were to increase buffers, which I previously discussed, the 50-foot wetland buffer. There were some comments from DLDOT regarding a traffic circle, and we eliminated the traffic circle, and we added the appropriate dedications of right-of-way as well as a 15-foot easement along the front with a bike path. The open space along the wetlands has been increased, and the lot sizes have been reduced to decrease the impact on the forested areas. There are no known historical sites on the property.
What has DLDOT presented by way of comment?
DLDOT submitted a public facilities evaluation report to planning and zoning that they would not require a TIS, that it was not warranted for this property.
Have they indicated what improvements they will expect?
Specific improvements will be negotiated in the entrance design, but I'm sure that they will include at least the expanding of the travel lanes and shoulder along Lizard Hill Road, as well as deceleration and bypass lanes based on the traffic generation.
Gentlemen, since this is an RPC, it is in the nature of a subdivision. One of the elements that must be considered by county government is Section 99-C of 99-9C of our code, and I'll ask Jessica to go through that fairly quickly, if you would.
We've addressed 99-C as follows. We're proposing the zoning be changed to the GRRPC, which we feel is complementary with the other uses in the area. The proposed project has been designed to minimize and avoid impacts on federal 404 wetlands. A 50-foot buffer will be honored from the high water of these wetlands. The site is located outside of the 100-year floodplain. There are no known historic sites on the property. There are 28.7 acres of open space proposed, which is 40% of the site. The areas of the site along the wetlands are being preserved as open space. A 60-foot buffer has been provided along the property lines, including a 30-foot minimum forested buffer. Water will be supplied by Artesian. The project's located in the Beaver Dam planning area for sewer. Pollution of water and groundwater will be prevented through implementation of DNREC and Sussex Conservation District BMPs. Stormwater management and erosion and sediment control will be designed to meet or exceed the current standards set forth by the Conservation District. The internal roads will be designed to meet or exceed Sussex County Engineering as well as State Fire Marshal regulations. Sidewalks and streetlights have been proposed on both sides of the street, providing for safe pedestrian movement within the community. The site is not currently being used as farmland. To facilitate pickup and drop-off of school children, a protected school bus stop has been located at the entrance of the subdivision. Although development will increase the number of trips on the road, it will be determined in the engineering phase what improvements are warranted for the site, and the improvements will be done to meet or exceed the minimum for the Department of Transportation.
All right. One thing that Mr. Lockwood testified about at the commission hearing was potential impact on schools. Can you speak to that briefly?
Well, if I remember correctly, I think he said that the proposed homes in this neighborhood would not likely be for families.
Young families.
Young families with children, school-aged children.
And as a result, he did not anticipate an impact on the school system?
That's correct.
That's just basically his opinion, right? No, he doesn't have anything.
There's no study from the school. No response.
Just his personal.
Right, no response received from Indian River. But that was his view. I think he, if I recollect, Mr. Cole, he said he anticipated pricing somewhere between $425,000 and $500,000 for these units. And he believed that was outside the budget of families with school-aged children.
Oh, interesting.
That said, I want to point out there was a pretty thoughtful letter from someone who was concerned about this application presented to the commission. He raised a number of issues, and if I can read my notes, he was concerned about roads and traffic. He was interested in whether or not there would be propane gas supply to the property. He was concerned about impacts on property taxes and school taxes, impacts on the water table, and the county's sewer construction schedule. And I believe those were matters addressed and answered at the commission. Today, I'd like to respond, since some former county attorney eliminated rebuttal at public hearings on land use matters. I'm obliged to follow that rule. There is a petition before you signed by more than 40 people who live nearby this area. It's, in my view, a realistic petition because it understands that in some fashion, someday, and probably sooner than we know, this property is going to be developed. It raises a couple of points that bear comment. One is that the density for this project is less than what the county, through its own engineering office, has allocated by way of sewer capacity. The condition of Lizard Hill Road will likely be substantially improved because of the project. And again, because of the size of the project, an impact study was not required. There was concern expressed about access to the beaches. This is not a seasonal community, it's a year-round community. Another concern was about the blue-tailed lizard who used to occupy this site. That lizard is not a protected species and may not exist on this site anymore. Another question raised, and I believe this was by Mrs. Hickman, who cares deeply about this area because she lives next door. There is a large oak tree near the planned entrance to this property. That oak tree will be preserved so long as it's healthy. You saw the demise of a large tree on Banks Road in Long Neck. That tree wasn't healthy and had to come down. This tree is healthy and will be preserved. She was concerned about, Kitchen was concerned about infrastructure for medical and emergency needs. There are substantial medical offices. There is an emergency substation, the Millville Fire Department. In addition, BB Hospital is planning a satellite office in North Millville. School bus accommodations have been already addressed. The buffers meet or substantially exceed county requirements, and for that matter, DENREC requirements. And the bottom line is, this area is in a developing area. It's right in the crosshairs between Millville by the Sea, which has the potential to develop at 8 units to the acre, and Bear Trap. To the east are MR&G, our properties that are in the process of developing. This is no longer a rural community. That's regrettable, but the die was cast years ago when Bear Trap was approved, and more recently, when Millville by the Sea was annexed and approved and assigned the zoning classification it was by the town of Millville. That's our application, gentlemen. We think that this is a creative plan. It takes a former conditional use and puts it out of business. The conditional use was a bar pit. It now will be cleaned up and converted to an amenity for a residential subdivision.
Is that part of your, Gene, is that part of your conditions that you'll bring that borrow pit into compliance with soil conservation's?
We have to, as a part of the project.
Is it as part of the conditions?
We have presented no conditions or findings of fact, but it has to be, Mr. Cole.
I haven't seen any testimony says it has to be, but
That's not testimony, that's reality.
Well, I hope so. Could you, ma'am, point out some of the creative aspects to this subdivision? It is in the environmentally sensitive district. Show me how that that plan is environmentally, is a superior plan, and it shows environmentally sensitivity?
Well, it's superior in that it has 40% being completely undisturbed.
Could you show me some of the areas you consider open space, like that little green squiggly line down between the rows there?
Is that what you're talking about?
Well,
that's wetlands.
Okay.
You said that,
this
right?
Entire area, anything that is not right of way or lots or these buildings,
mm-hmm.
has been considered open.
So anything in between the buildings is open space and all that stuff?
Yes.
All the green.
This is
all that
green
dark green.
Is all of the 50-foot buffers, the 2.9-acre pond, the 60-foot setbacks from the
right.
adjacent property lines. This is 80-foot from the existing right of way.
Okay, that's good enough. I understand that part. Just to keep things moving, I'll ask a couple quick questions here. My understanding is when you fragment a forest, it's not very environmentally sensitive. That appears to be fragmented. Could you tell me why that's not a fragmenting the...
It is broken up into several clustered areas,
right.
but the clustering themselves keeps fragmentation from occurring because what we're leaving is a lot of open space around the buffer. And
around the perimeter, okay. You know, we've heard about getting away from the grid look. That looks like a lot of gridding. That doesn't look real creative. Could you tell me why that is not to be considered a grid layout?
The lots or...
Yeah, well, everything looks like...
The reason that we wanted to section the higher density, well, first of all, there's an open section of open space along the side here, so we did some of the higher density in this area. Also, getting that traffic off of one of the main roads going in. And this does look slightly griddish.
Yes, it does.
The upsetting of my client, but when it's developed, it will have a slightly more creative layout in the middle.
Okay.
But the intent is to have the lots central.
What is the official status of this sewer district it's in?
The official status is that it is in the Beaver Dam planning area. It needs to be annexed into the Millville Sewer District, I believe it is.
A planning area, though. What is the status of a planning area? There really nothing's been approved. It's just an area that they're planning.
I think if you read the letter by Mr. Archett, it spells out exactly what we need to do.
Right. Yeah, eventually you have to somehow get it annexed or something.
Yes.
But right now it's in a... Right.
Well,
it doesn't have... It, this area is not allocated.
Yes, it is.
4 units to the acre.
Yes. Yes.
If you read Mr. Archett's letter, it's pretty clear.
Well, I read it, but if it doesn't really exist, I don't know. It's an AR1 district.
What it reads, Mr. Cole, is the property is located in the Beaver Dam planning area, be served through improvements being constructed along Substation Road for the Beaver Dam area by the developers of Millville by the Sea, Barrington Park, and Fairway Village. Sussex County does not plan to extend sanitary sewer to the Crowell property. It will be the developer's responsibility to extend service to the new infrastructure from the Crowell property. Capacity has been allocated for the Crowell property based on 4 units per acre. State wetlands must be deducted from the gross acreage prior to the total number of units being calculated. Then it goes on to explain about the annexation process.
All right.
Gentlemen, that's the application. Any other questions we can answer?
Yeah, I got one more last. You cited all Millville by the Sea and all these other areas that are basically supposedly gives this credibility why there's need, but none of those areas haven't even been started. It's just a bunch of fields. So could you give me in as few words as possible why you think there's a need for additionally higher density zoned land to be created, because it's only zoned AR1, which is the maximum, would be about 2 units to the acre.
Mr. Cole, I'm not a realtor.
I know that.
Nor is Ms. Nichols. Were Mr. Lockwood here, he could help us in this regard. But this is consistent with the development of Bear Trap and is modeled as after Bear Trap. I believe that is a very successful development, and I believe that it is developing.
I don't know if I'd want to own one now, speaking as a realtor, but
yeah.
It may have been in the beginning.
Who knows? But the point is, it's developing rapidly and soon will be built out. As to demand here, again, this is all part of a region which formerly was agricultural, now is trending rapidly toward residential. As to the difference between 2 and 4, I think the county engineer's office made that determination when it found this property to be in a growth area and assigned it an allocation of 4 EDUs per acre.
And one other, why did Mr. Lockwood want a GR designation as opposed to an MR, which would be more of a single-family home? Because in the GR district, you can put manufactured homes, mobile homes, and other things. I mean, how can we... I know Mr. Lockwood doesn't think there'll be a impact on on the schools, but these projects many times get flipped to somebody else, and they may build a different product.
Let me suggest, Mr. Cole, I don't know why the application was not MRRPC and it was GR, but that is the function of restrictive covenants. That's also a function of any conditions attached to an RPC approval.
But we don't do
commission
restrictive
and
covenants.
Council can attach. Well, first of all, those restrictive covenants are approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission through Mr. Robertson. If a representation was made at the commission, and it was, that these would be stick-built properties, then that's the way it must be.
Mr. Cole, just an expansion of that, in the commission's public hearing, it was stated by one of the representatives that the GR zoning was applied for since it's consistent with the GR zoning east of the site.
But there's also AR zoning, west of the site, and there's MR zoning nearby. I mean, there's all kinds of zoning. So,
that's what was stated by the
applicant. Okay.
Give me a fact.
As a part of the application to the commission, there were restrictive covenants submitted. Those were reviewed by Mr. Robertson, and I will represent to you they did say stick-built housing.
Okay. With a RPC, there are conditions. You don't have any conditions to present to us today?
Yeah, that's to be established, presumably, by the commission when it deliberates and votes. That may occur tomorrow. It may occur at some future
date. Well, sometimes the applicant has some, but they...
Sometimes they do, Mr. Right. Cole. Sometimes they don't.
Okay.
Any other questions, gentlemen?
I don't think so. Not right.
Doesn't surprise me.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard either in support of this application or in opposition? First, in support. Anyone here in present in opposition or who has a question or a concern about the application? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized.
I don't believe P&Z has acted on this case.
No.
So I'll entertain a motion to defer.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Cole, second by Mr. Jones to defer. On change of zone 1602 triple D double J LLC. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Have a bit of time.
Make motion to adjourn.
Motion by Mr. Dukes, second by Mr. Phillips.